Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host. And Holy Spirit is our overseer. He's the one that leads and guides us. So we pray this morning that all is well with you there in the computer land. So many things are going on all over the world, especially in the Middle East, in Africa, in India, in China, in Japan, in Afghanistan, in Korea. So much stuff is going on. The floodings, I mean, houses are being washed away, cars are washed away, trucks and people are being washed away. So this is the time that we are in. People are testing God with their stupidity, doing what they want to do and saying what they want to say. Don't believe in the God that they need to believe in. You know, they believe in their own way of life. You know, they believe that their way is the only way. And they don't want to hear anything about God because God don't do anything for them. So, but we know that he has done all that he had to do for us and more. Because going to the cross was more than enough. Father, we thank you. We praise you. And we glorify your name. We honor you this morning. We thank you, Father God. We bless your name. We ask you, O God, to continue to watch over us, watch over our families. Keep us safe and secure against the wiles of the enemy. And Father, we thank you for keeping us, even with this little heart situation, Lord. You're still keeping us. You're keeping us in the land of the living. Hallelujah. And God, we pray that you continue to speak to us, that you continue to give us ears to hear what you're saying to us, O God, that we can be the people that bring glory to your name. In the holy name of Jesus, we hallelujah and hallelujah and hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. We bless your holy name today, Lord. We ask you, God, to continue to just speak to us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would saturate the atmosphere with your glorious presence, O God. That you would clean the atmosphere. You would sterilize the atmosphere, O God. That you would remove all the satanic energy that's in the atmosphere, O God. All that the enemy is trying to do to the people, O God. That you would stop it and stop it abruptly, O God. Pray, God, for the pastors that are out there that are really working, the evangelists, the prophets and the teachers. And we pray for the apostles that are really working in the kingdom, O God. Lord, pray today that you would move on our behalves, O God. And that you would keep us focused, O God, on what you have called us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails.
All my days, I've been hating. From the moment that I wake till I lay my head, oh, I wish of the goodness of God. So my life, you have been faithful. So my life, you have been strong. Oh, I wish of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the night. In darkest night, you are so light, oh, I say. I've known you as a father. I know you have a way. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been faithful.
Your hidden glory. That God is so big, God is big. Oh,
for the holy name. For we bow down and worship you. Oh, just lift up your hands. Holy, I love you.
You in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We can't praise you enough for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. Oh, Father, we bless you. We bless you, oh God, for keeping us in the land of the living, oh God. There's no one compares to you, Lord Jesus. We honor you with all that's within us, oh God. We ask you to have your way in this service today. Lord Jesus, we ask you to look beyond our faults and see our needs, O God. For we are a people in great need, in need of a Savior that will speak to us as we yield to you this morning. Lord Jesus, have your way. God, we ask you to touch our eyes and touch our ears and touch our lips of clay. God, touch our lungs. Oh, God, for this morning we are we are catching this a head cold is trying to catch us. It's coming after us. But Lord, we know that you are our healer. So we are trusting you to help us to fight off this enemy that is trying to take over our body, to hinder us from teaching and preaching. In Jesus' holy name. This morning we are doing part three of the message that we have done on yesterday. And we're probably going to go to part four because I am hearing so much that the Lord is speaking to us. Let us go to Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13. And see what the prophet is saying to us over here. This is very, very powerful. I tell you the truth. All of the Lord's word is powerful, but sometimes you get into some scriptures that really, really touch your heart deep. You see how much God cares about us, that he's willing to think that we don't know and lay it on the table for us, and we will get the understanding that we need to have in order to live. I may sound a little strange today, or a little stranger today, let's say it that way, because my sinuses are bothering me. But here we're talking about the final warning. And why does God give us this? Because the Lord is warning his people. The one who knows him as Lord and Savior, the one who have accepted him as Lord and Savior, who called him Lord, who calls him Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King. So he's warning us to stay prepared and stay on the straight and narrow path. Do not move to the left or move to the right, but stay on that straight and narrow path. God wants us to know that hell has enlarged its mouth, and hell wants to suck us in through any way that it can suck us in. And mostly hell is going to try to suck us in through all the things that hell knows that we already love. And if you don't think so, you wonder why you had that man or you had that woman, but yet still your eyes are on that other man or your eyes are on that other woman. That's the devil, because he know that you love to have sex, you love to have different partners, and he will take you to hell with him, because he don't care what you do, how much fun you have, how much drugs you smoke, how much alcohol you drink, how much you steal. He don't care. You say, well, you're happy I can go to the grocery store anytime I get up. I robbed those people. I broke into that store. You know, he don't care. Because eventually what he is after is your soul. And he will help you get all the things that make you smile till he have your soul. Here in the book of Ezekiel, this is what he says, the judgment against the prophet talking about. And he said, then this message came to me from the Lord. Ezekiel is speaking. Son of man, the Lord, he is the only one in the book that I've found so far that the Lord relates to as son of man, apart from Jesus. He says, son of man, prophesied against the false prophets of Israel who are inventing their own prophecies. Say to them, listen to the word of the Lord. Now he called this prophet that have a connection to him. God called this prophet, and he gave this prophet an assignment to go and speak to these other false prophets. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes people don't want to hear you because they think that they know it, that they got it down. They're not going to respond to you because they think they know it better than you. But God is giving you a word for them to enlighten them so that they get a better understanding of the assignment that he placed upon their life. Because a lot of people have assignments and don't know what their assignment is. Tell the truth, they don't know what their assignment are. And they go and they teach something that they have studied, But that's not what God wanted them to teach. You know, some people come up and they say, well, I got a word here. This word I've been studying for the last 2-3 weeks, and this is what God. No, a lot of time that's not the word. You study that because it sounds good. It feels good to you when you were studying it. But then never ask God, God, is this what you want me to deliver to your people? Is this the message that you want me to deliver to your people? That's what I do. Even when I start to study and the words are jumping off the page to me, I say, Lord, is this the word you want me to really give to your people? And if I don't hear, I say, Lord, I'm going to lay here till I hear from you. Give me a word for the people. And eventually I'll be searching through the Bible, searching through, and something will come alive. And I could hear the Lord say, this is the word I want you to give to you. But here, this is what he did to Ezekiel. He said, go and give this word. This is what the sovereign Lord says. What sorrows awaits the false prophets who are following their own imaginations and have seen nothing at all. In other words, the people are speaking. They're speaking. These prophets are coming and they're prophesying. You'll hear this all the time. People say it from time to time. You hear the people say, they're prophesying. God has not spoken to them. He told Ezekiel this. He told Jeremiah the same thing. He has not spoken to them. But they're saying the Lord said this. You know what I do? Sometimes, a lot of times, I say, unless the Lord speak it to me 3 or 4 times, because I usually ask the Lord, says, if that's you, show me. Let somebody come and tell me the same word that didn't hear it from me. Let me see it on the television show or something, and I might be stretching the computer or something, searching through what you call surfing, and all of a sudden something will come up pertaining to what God has said. He confirms it. So I say, look, even though I lay on the bed in the morning, I'm hearing stuff. I said, I hear, I said, put them on computer, put them on the internet. I said, you know, this is what I believe the Lord is saying to us today. This is what I believe. You know, I don't put myself in trouble and say, well, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that. You know, I said, this is what I believe I heard from the Lord. Well, it's up to you then, you know. But the Lord is saying to us today, pay attention to the word that you're hearing. This is what he says. Oh, people of Israel, these prophets of yours are like jackals digging in the ruins. Jackal is a wild animal, looks just like a dog. He has a face, he has a body like a dog, but he has a face I can't remember the name of that animal, but he's one of them Australian half dog, half some other thing. But either way, these jackals make a funny sound. And these, God is looking at them that they're acting just like jackals do. This is what God says. They have done nothing to repair the breaks in the walls among the nations. They have not helped it stand firm in battle on the day of the Lord. Instead, they have told lies and made false predictions. How many prophets today are coming to our cities and they're going and telling the people, well, the Lord is going to do this for you and the Lord is going to do that for you, and nothing is happening. God is doing nothing because God has not told them that he's going to do something. So God is saying to us today through this word that we have to be observant. We have to pay attention because these false prophets are going to come from everywhere and they're going to tell us this thing is happening and this thing is about to happen. But listen, he said, I have not spoken to them. Do you hear me today? I have not spoken to them. This is why we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study the word of God so that when people is talking to us and preaching at us or to us, that we would know if it's the word of God, if this is what God is saying. Hallelujah. Let's go back into it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, instead they have told lies and made false predictions. They say, this message is from the Lord. Even though the Lord never sent them, and yet they expect him to fulfill their prophecies. They have seen that the Lord has said this when the Lord have not said anything at all. At all. And they expect God to honor the word that they have spoken out of their lying mouth. God is not going to honor lies. Can your visions be anything but false if you claim this message is from the Lord? When I have not even spoken to you? I know people tell people that, hey, some preachers telling the folk in the church, no, oh, God going to bless you next week with this much amount of money, and you're going to have all of these. I had a lady, I think she was from Georgia, and she came on this, it was Evangelist Brown's daughter, and she said that she needed a car. Brown said, she said to me, pray for my daughter, she really needs a car so she can get back and forth. She's a nurse or something. And that's okay. So we talking on the line and ministering, and then the Lord said, pray for her. So I hear the Lord say that to tell her she was going to get this nice car. When she go to the dealership, she not even going to have a down payment and all this stuff. Well, I know I heard the Lord say it. Her credit was a little shaky. But I knew I heard in my spirit to tell her that. She ended up getting a spanking brand new car and the latest model. I told her, I said, look, sow a seed for your blessing. I'm not in this ministry. I said, because I hear the Lord said to tell you to sow a seed. I said, you can sow a seed wherever you choose, but I didn't hear him tell you sow a seed in Blog Talk Ministry. I said, so I think it was like $45 or $35 I told her, the Lord told her to sow. Well, she didn't sow, like I said, not in this ministry, but she sowed in, I believe, the ministry that she was going to. And, you know, because a lot of people think, you can't buy a miracle. You can't buy a blessing. That way you hear people tell, well, give it to this ministry and God can do it. No, because you're trying to sell a miracle. You said to sell something that only God can give. That's why I told her, I said, no, God didn't tell me to tell so in this ministry. Because I could hear the line went quiet, too, when I was telling her about sow a seed. I could hear them in their spirit saying, he's just trying to raise money for the ministry, for his ministry. No. So I tell them straight up, I said, look, the Lord didn't tell you to sow a seed in this ministry, but he wants you to sow a seed, and it's not that God can only bless you when you sow a seed. God wants to see where your faith is, where your obedience is. Are you willing to? And she sowed a seed in the ministry. Well, I tell you, she got that car, just like the Lord says. And Evangelist Baxter Brown now, she came back on the line and she said, Pastor, you are truly a man of God. I said, I know. I don't get everything perfect. And I say that all the time because I'm not perfect. Only God is perfect. Even Evangelist Brown, when I heard her husband, never met him or looking to go to Georgia and meet him sometime. You know, but I don't care for Georgia too much, because there's too much crime in Georgia, too much wickedness in Georgia. Just like this state that I'm in, Massachusetts, I don't care for it too much. I'm only here because my family's here, my granddaughter and so on. But there's too much wickedness in this state. They got the LGBT full bloom, the abortions and all this stuff in this state. You know, the devil is working in this state like over time. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So look, you see what all that snow up in New York, all that snow? Well, look, you see, because they're doing all this crazy stuff they're doing. I told him, I just when I heard her husband, they never met him. I said, well, we was going out driving because I should give her a ride in my car, but she didn't have no car. And she would come to the church and support the church that I was the assistant pastor in the church, Bishop Wright, and nobody wanted to give her a ride. So she's a single woman. And she's a nice person. Never asked for gas money, but all she would say, Pastor, put that $25 in gas in your car. I said, you know, back. Sir. She was back today, and I said, I don't ask you for no money to put in car. My car's full of gas. You know, I fill my car every 2 weeks. I don't go anywhere. I got a quarter tank in there now. By the end of the week, I fill it up to the brim. So anyway, I heard Pastor Brown. I'm going to get back in the message because, you know, I'm going to do a part four, so maybe a part five. I got a whole lot of scriptures that I'm not even touching yet. So anyway, I heard Pastor Brown's voice. Man, it just jumped out the service to me. And I told her, I said, when we was together the Sunday, I said, Randis Brown, but we always go out. Sometimes she pay for the dinner. Sometimes I pay for the dinner. And I said, Vernon Brown, you know that fella that came on the line from Georgia, and he was talking. He always used to scream, you know, when he preaches, he make that kind of funny sound. And I told her, I said, that's your husband. God told me that's your husband. I said, if he's not your husband, then I'm a land prophet. He said, Pastor, don't play with me. I said, I'm telling you, that's your husband. It's just a matter of time before he proposed. When she went to Georgia to visit her daughter, she got two daughters in Georgia. And she got a son-in-law and grandchildren, granddaughters and grandsons in Georgia. So she went to Georgia to visit. She saw Pastor Brown, but he never said a word to her. And you know, now she's thinking now, when did Pastor Callan know what he was saying? You know, you can see it in her eyes. You know, you can see it in her mouth. Hear it in the mouth. She's talking to me, but she's saying, I can hear her spirit saying, one day he told me that thing, but Pastor Brown didn't even say that to her. I said, that don't matter. I tell you, that's your husband. She was questioning what I told her. And that was all right. I wasn't mad. But a couple of times she went to Georgia and they went out to dinner. He didn't propose to her nothing. And it was happening like that. Went to church together. And the next thing you know, they're five or six years now, that they're married. I don't say what I don't hear. If I don't hear, I say, Lord, I let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth and let me never speak again. I don't just speak it because I want to speak it. I'm not no great preacher. God is. I tell them in the church the same thing. I'm not no great preacher. And I'm not perfect. I still make mistakes. My mind still go this place and go that place. He says, therefore, verse 8, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because what you say is false and your visions are a lie, I will stand against you, says the sovereign Lord. See, if you continue prophesying, God will come against you. Especially you prophesying in God's name. You using his name in a lie, not in the truth. Because you figure that when you prophesy, people love prophecy. You know, people go to the church and all they want to do, if they hear a good prophet coming, they hear a prophet. You know, like when you call this guy, can't remember his name now, but you know what I'm talking, this young boy, Brandt. He come to town, he called people's name out. That's what he does. And everybody want to go. Everybody want to go where he preaching. And he called the people out that he never seen before. But you know, it's a spirit. It's a spirit that doing the work, and it's not God's spirit. Let me tell you that. It's not God's spirit that doing that work. And people go, he says, there's a David Callender inside the ordinance. He never met me. I never met him. See him on TV. See him on the internet. people names. Oh, my God, he called my name out. You can't believe that. He called my name. The devil know your name, too. Just as well as God know your name, the devil know your name. And the devil call your name out to make you think that he is some superhero. This is why you got to know the word of God, and you got to know how the devil plays. You got to know how he plays. You understand? You got to know that he's not playing fear. And because you're not prepared for the move of God, the devil will trick you up all the time, trip you up all the time, trip me up, trip you up, trip us up. We have to stay prepared all the time, every move of the devil. Do you hear me? You got to stay prepared. Because the devil's not playing fear with you or playing fear with me. You think that because I know two scriptures that the devil wouldn't trip me up and make me do. He was getting ready. Listen to me. He was getting ready to trip me up here yesterday, day before. I can't tell you the whole stuff. But he was getting ready to trip me up. You know what the Lord said? The Lord come and said, no, I'm getting ready to go to North Carolina. And he was getting ready to trip me up. It was a good move, but everything wasn't good about it. You understand? Everything wasn't good about it. And the Lord exposed it. What he said, how did he expose it, Apostle? He told me straight up, don't go to North Carolina. You know, don't go to North Carolina. And I called the people and said, look, I'm not coming. And they said to me, whatever you want to do is fine. You know, you can't go because you feel you're some okay preacher. Is that where God want you to go? Because God don't want you to go. He may not want you to go. Ask him. God can't talk and God can't tell you what he know. We want to move and then when we get in trouble, we start blaming God. God, why do you let me go? You didn't even consult him. You want to go get married? You don't even talk to the high priest. You say, well, God created marriage in the Garden of Eden. You want to marry to this man. You want to marry to this woman. But you don't even talk to God because the man look good. The woman is beautiful. She's attractive. She got skin like gold. You want to be with her. But you don't talk to God. You want to go for a new job because you're not satisfied with the job that you're on. And you're just going up and leave. You don't know the boss man on the job. You don't know what kind of man he is. You don't know the owner of the company. But you want to up and leave without talking to God. Because you're going to go get this new job. We're going to pay you more money. Then when you get to the job, you realize that the man on the job is a racist. Don't like black people. Don't like Indians. Don't like Chinese. Don't like these people. You don't like Jews. You don't like African Americans. You know, and now you go on to the job and you're reaping hell. On the other job, you wouldn't get a whole lot of profit. You just wasn't making the kind of money that you want to make yet. But you didn't have no patience to wait. You didn't trust God. And then you fall into all type of stuff. Man, you got to pray about everything. One preacher said, pray about everything and worry about nothing. And if you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray. You understand? So we thank God. Let me get back into this word. I'm busy doing nothing right now. But let me get back into this word here. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. He is so awesome. He is so awesome. I love the way God do things. I love the way God do things. Here in the book, he said, verse 9 says, I will raise my fist against all the prophets who see false visions and make lying predictions, and they will be banished from the community of Israel. I will blot their names from Israel record books, and they will never again set foot on land. Do you imagine the power of God, the authority of God, that when you find yourself lying on God, because that's what you're doing, lying using God's name as a lie to please yourself, to get your needs met, God now turn you away, cause you to become an outcast even between your own people. Even between your own people, make you become an outcast. This is what God does. It's in the book, man. You wonder why God had me teaching this all the time. I was almost at that point of making this mistake. He said, and they will never again set foot in their own land. Then you will know that I am the sovereign Lord. Verse 10, chapter 13 of Ezekiel, part 3 of the message, the final warning. A lady from Mississippi sent me, he said, Apostle, thank you so much. Thank you. I could hear it in her voice. Said, thank you so much for that word. But she'll get part 3 today. Part 4 will come on Saturday. The Lord say the same. Glory to God. I pray that Providence can come on tomorrow. If she can't come on, I will come on late because I got to go and fix these cameras for one of my customers. I put up some cameras for her earlier this year, and two of the cameras are not getting enough sun. They're cordless cameras, and they're not getting, you know, security cameras. They're not getting enough sun. They have the little solar panel to collect the sun to give energy. So she called me last night. Plus, I got to change some other filters, some water filters on her system. So, you know, maybe a couple hundred dollars or so I'll make, you know. And as soon as I get, I got to give it away because I had people call me last night. Yesterday, they would text me and box me yesterday. They don't have no food in Africa. So, you know, if I make a little bit, I send them to them because the thing is that you know, I got food. I have food. I have water. I have light. I have gas. I have everything. I don't have all that I want, but I have what I need. And if God give me a little bit extra, it's so I can help. He said, if you see the person that's naked, you don't give them clothes. You know, what good is it? You say, well, the Lord going to help you. Oh, don't worry about it. The Lord will give you something to eat. The Lord will give you something to drink. When God say, you're the one supposed to give them. God's not coming up from the throne room. You're the one. You say, oh, don't worry about it, God. Provide your needs. I pray for you. They want more than prayer. They're hungry. They're naked. They want shelter. They want to go into a hotel room so they can get with the cold. You say, don't worry about it. Just be cool. God's going to take care of you. And that's what people tell you, man. I'm telling you, when I was getting high, I needed some help. And the people would tell me, say, man, let me just pray for you. Brother, let me just pray for you. God's going to help you. They got what I need, but don't help me. He says, this is what the Lord says. This will happen because these evil prophets deceive my people by saying all is peaceful when there is no peace at all. It's as if the people have built a flimsy wall. And these prophets are trying to reinforce it by covering it with whitewash. Apostle Washington used to always say that the people talk, but they're just like whitewashed tombs, meaning that they're filthy on the inside. And God just said it right here. He used this analogy of the lying prophets. He said, when they say that it's all peaceful, and I saw one prophet there now from down south, and he's preaching this thing, telling the people, don't worry, you are in the season of joy. Man, you look from north to south all over the world. All of these earthquakes are taking place. All of these tsunamis are taking place. All of these floods are taking place in the desert. Cars are being washed away. Trucks are being... homes are being washed away. India, China, Japan, Korea, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, they're all Syria. Even this one that just had one night before, Turkey. Man, they want to fight. They're fighting And God is sending a warning to them, telling them, look, you need to stop fighting against my people. You need to stop trying to hurt my people. And they can't even see it. God is warning them. But they want to destroy Israel because Israel is a threat to them. That little piece of land that they have that looked like a shovel, it looks just like a shovel. They want that. They're not satisfied. They got all the oil. They got the gold. They got the silver. They got everything. But they want that little piece of land that God gave to Israel. You know, God had given Israel all the land. Do you know that? All. See, I give you the land of your enemies. The land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites. All of them, he gave them the land. Israel gave it up. They said, we don't need all that land. We're just going to take this small piece over here. But Gaza was belongs to Israel. But Israel wanted to have peace. They gave it up to the Palestinians. It was Israel. God gave it to them. Go back and look at it. You know, God is flooding them all out. Flooding them all out. No, Israel was planning to flood the tunnels. I was just laughing so, but it was comical. I said, Israel planned to flood the tunnels so they got to come out. And all of a sudden, the water started coming down from heaven. Water started coming down from heaven. I mean, there's a rainstorm, like somebody opened a big, giant bucket. Water was coming down. They ain't never seen no water like that before. Because God know what he doing. You can't mess with God's people. We are God's people. When people come against us, they're coming against God. Now, we belong to him. He purchased us with his blood on the cross. And folk want to come against us because they can't stand us. They don't like us. They don't know they're messing with God. Not us, God. He said, look. Tell these whitewashers that their walls will soon fall down. Hear what God said. A heavy rainstorm, hear what he said, a heavy rainstorm will undermine it. Great hailstones and mighty winds will knock it down. They just had this in Turkey. Big rainstorm and hear stones like as big as a tennis ball. They were running and screaming in the streets. I was watching the internet on the computer. Running and screaming, getting hit in the head. Don't mess with God, people. The best thing you can do for the man of God, the woman of God, is pray for them. But if false prophets, you've got to expose them. He said, and when the wall falls, he said, the people will cry out, what's happening to your whitewash? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will sweep away your whitewashed walls with a storm of indignation, with a great flood of anger, and with hailstones of fury. I will break down your walls right to its foundation. And when it falls, it will crush you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. See, people of God, don't let what the wicked world is doing move you. Stay on track with the Lord. Stay faithful to the Lord. Pray when the Lord says prayer. Fast when the Lord says fast. Study when the Lord says study. I mean, get your stuff together. Keep your stuff together. Don't worry about the money and the clothes and all that stuff. Don't focus on that. Don't let that become an idol to you. I got to have a new suit. Got to have a new dress. Everybody's changing every Sunday, so I got to look different. They say I wear a different suit every Sunday. I said, but yeah, they're all old. I'm bad suit in the last 6 or 7 years. They're in the need to. And my clothes are not worn hard. So when you see them, you think they're brand new. They're not brand new. They're old. I tell them that. Ain't no need for me to wear the same suit when I got so much in there. I give away suits. And I'm not bragging or boasting. If it sounds like I'm boasting on the Lord, for he the one who give me what I have. And I give away. I give him away. You know, somebody looking for, I got some brand new shirts there, polo shirts. So I tell this young man, because he's skinny. I said, no, they sent me the wrong size, and I never wore them, talking to too small. I asked for extra large, extra, extra large, and they sent me large, so they're no good to me. So I give them away. Don't boast on that. You said, the Lord do this. It's the Lord. People think you're boasting. You're not boasting. God bless you so you can bless somebody. Sometimes he let people make mistakes. Your suit come around. And they say, well, that's the size you choose. They say that. You can't fuss with them even if you say something else. So they're in a different country, in a different state. What are you going to do, go down to the store and bang on the front door? Yeah, you can do it. You can't do. So you have to let the money, lose the money. So God will let that happen so you can bless somebody. You say, well, I'm not going to throw it in the trash can. I'm going to go down the street. I know I got this young man that come to the church or this young woman that come to the church. I'm going to give her the dress. I'm going to give him the shoes. You know what I'm saying? I just give away 4 pair of brand new shoes, never worn. Never, never worn. Cow skin. And what happened is they send me, I wear size 11. Them foolish people send me size 12. So you know I'm clocking now. I was funny. In the house I got carpet, so I just put on, and it sounded like clouds, because they're slopping on the floor. I was just laughing. I said, but you know, I can't do nothing with that. I said, Miss Keller, Rev, like a pastor, that's what you tell you. No, I didn't order that. Why would I order size 12 when I wear size 11? That's me like a foolish man. And like I'm doped out or something. So I gave him away. But let's finish this. Let's finish this if we can. It's on here. Chapter 13 of Ezekiel. This is a powerful book. I love Ezekiel. I tell you, all the prophets I tell, there's only two that I really, 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 I love them all, but the two that I really, really admonish a lot is Ezekiel and Jeremiah. I love these two prophets because they just cared for the people. When you look at Jeremiah cried for the people. Cried because he could see the people's sin. God loved to see the people's sin. And he cried for them because the people was hearing the word of God, but they weren't receiving the word of God. Just like some of us. We hear the word of God. We say, well, why does he talk so much? Why he talk so much? Why he takes so long? All this stuff. We miss the point. God is trying to break down something, break down the word in a way so we can understand, we can get a revelation of what he's saying through us. And God says, he says, look, my Lord Jesus, he says, at last my anger against the wall and those who cover it with whitewash will be satisfied. Then I will say to you, the wall of those who whitewash it are both gone. There are lying prophets who claim peace would come to Jerusalem when there was no peace. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. Now, son of man, he told Ezekiel, now go. Son of man, verse 17, speak out against the women who prophesy from their own imaginations. You got a lot of women prophets now. I'm telling you, though, you got a lot of women prophets that don't spend no time in the Word. I saw one lady from the Caribbean. She's from my country. She was a pastor. You know, people don't understand that the apostle is the highest gift in the Bible. He's the highest as the minister. It means that he is the minister of the gospel, and he's the highest gift. Well, she was a pastor, then she was an apostle. Now I saw her wearing a bishop robe. She's bishop now. Because she don't satisfy, because you know, the people more call her to the bishop more than they call her to the apostle. So then next time you see her, she'll be a chief apostle. You know. And there's only one chief apostle. I don't even reverence those fellows that call themselves chief apostle. There's only one chief apostle, that's Jesus. He's the chief apostle. Paul said he wasn't even worthy to be called an apostle. You'll hear none of them apostles call themselves chief apostles. You read the Bible for yourself. Not one of them call themselves chief apostles because they know chief. they're servants to the Lord. He's the chief apostle. By showing that they're not satisfied with their gift or their titles, so now I've been an apostle too long. It's time for me to become a chief apostle. And they say, well, they recognize the bishop more than they recognize the apostle, so I'm going to be a bishop. All a bishop is an elder. That's all a bishop is, an elder. So, glory to God. So anyway, here in this word, he says, son of man, speak out against the women who prophesy from their own imaginations, from their own thoughts, what they feel, and their own emotions. This is what the sovereign Lord says. What sorrows await you women who are ensnaring the souls of my people, young and old alike. You tie magic charms on their wrists and furnish them with magic veils, out bringing destruction on yourself. You hear what God said? People are going down to these places and they're getting these magic charms because they want power. I told you all about this last week or week before. They're going to these prophets and prophetess that working witchcraft. They got voodoo charms and got Ouija boards and all this kind of stuff. They're going down to the voodoo priests and all this stuff. And these people are saying that they're working for the Lord. You hear what I'm telling you? And God said you got to be, you go face destruction. I'm not looking for no power. I'm looking to win souls for the kingdom. Power belongs to God. All I want him to do is instruct me. Give me the information that I need to have. Call me to see the word when I need to see it. I don't have a Bible with me, and I'm somewhere, and somebody wants to hear the word. Let the word flow out of my spirit. Like he says, it should flow out of your belly like rivers of living water. Let rivers of living water flow to me that somebody can get a drink and say, yes, this is what I want. This is what I want. This is what I need. He said, look, bring shame on me among my people. For a few handfuls of barley or a piece of bread, by lying to my people who love to listen to lies, you kill those who should not die, and you promise life to those who shall not live. Do you hear that? You have prophets today, man, telling people know that they're going to die. Telling people, you're not going to die. You're going to live to declare the works of the Lord. That may be the person time to go from here. You don't even consult God. You're praying for them because you're a prophet. You're a prophetess. You are a minister of the gospel. You don't even consult God. How should I pray, Lord? I don't know how to pray. Lord, teach me how to pray for this person right now. Give me the words that I need to speak over them that might possibly bring life to them. Ask the Lord. He said, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. This is what the Lord said. That means you ask foolish stuff. Ask the Lord. Let your needs be lined up with his giving. What he would give to you. Let your needs ask him for a lot of foolish stuff. He said, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against all your magic charms which you use to ensnare my people. You see these things they're using all this stuff to trap the people. I wish to go to New York City with his friend of mine from Jamaica. And he was going through some stuff with his ex-wife. He was going to this rich doctor. And I went in the place one time. Man, I was scared. I tell you, I didn't know too much about that stuff. But I was scared. My knee was knocking, man. I went in there, had skull, real skull. I mean like a human skull. Human hands, human bones, all that stuff. Ribs and everything. You know, they probably steal that from a graveyard or something, you know, the witch doctor. And there the lights are all neon lights, black lights, that when you go in the club. Your teeth are shining when you look at one another. Well, he got to go in a room, a dark room, an incense place full of incense. They're working voodoo, voodoo, whatever doing. So I told him, I said, man, I got, he was a Mason. I said, man, I got to see you. I'll see you. I got to go. I wait for you outside. I couldn't stay in that place. Because he wanted to go to the witch doctor so the man could work some stuff so he could mesmerize his wife. They had a daughter, and he would get the daughter to raise the daughter himself. His mother had died and leave him a nice house. But he couldn't trust, didn't want to trust God for half of him, for them to share the daughter. They were fighting in court. So he wanted an extra hand, having the devil working for him. But I tell you something. When you mess with the magic in them charms, man, you opening some doors of hell. You're opening some dark doors. Listen to what he said. Let me read that again for you. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against all your magic charms, which you use to ensnare or trap my people like birds. And I will tear them from your arms, setting my people free like birds set free from a cage. I will tear off the magic veils and save my people from your grasp or your hold on them. They will no longer be your victims. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You have discouraged the righteous with your lies, but I didn't want them to be sad. And you have encouraged the wicked by promising them life. Even though they continue in their sins. You hear that? And you have some preacher will know that you're in sin. And still they will rebuke you and bring you to a greater understanding that you cannot live in sin and still have conversation with God. Because you're giving them money. You're giving them $100, hundreds of dollars. You're giving them. Because you're hearing what you want to hear. And God says, you have discouraged the righteous with your lives. But I didn't want them to be sad, God says. And you have encouraged the wicked by promising them life, even though they continue in their sins. Hero, multi-sins. Because of all this, you have no longer talk of seeing visions that you never saw, nor will you make predictions, for I will rescue my people from your grasp. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's go over there. He's talking about the prophets and the pastors over here. In Jeremiah chapter 23. All you got to do is search scriptures. This is what the Berean church did in Acts, I think, chapter 7 or 17. They searched the scriptures daily. You have to search the scriptures. If you want something to talk about, don't make up a story. Go into the Word of God and let God show you. And here, he's talking about false prophets, and he's talking about the righteous. There's righteous. Wherever there's good, there's bad. Understand? Wherever there's righteous people, there's also going to be sinners. Do you know that? In your church, you got some righteous people, and you got some downright sinners. They still go to church. They go on Sunday. They come on midweek service. They go on Saturday, on Sabbath. They have a Sabbath service. But their lifestyle outside the building is hypocritical. It's like a stench in the nostrils of God. They don't even repent after knowing that they're doing all this nasty sliminess. They don't repent because they're doing what feels good to them. And the devil making them feel as good. And then the folk that they're with encouraging them because they're doing the same thing. He says, what sorrow awaits the leaders of my people? Listen to God. He's talking to pastors and prophets. I'm not making this thing up. We're talking about the final warnings. The final warnings before he comes. This is why we're putting this message out there. It's recorded. So if I even leave from here, it's still going to be recorded. We can go all the way back to 2010 and see messages on the computer that we did way back then. And you can see how God has been developed us. He says, what sorrows await the leaders of my people, the shepherds of my sheep. For they have destroyed and scattered the very ones they were expected to care for, says the Lord. this here make me laugh. It's not funny. It's serious. But God says that they destroy the very ones that they were supposed to care for. They were supposed to care for the broken, the sick, the lame, those that in need of understanding, lacking understanding, don't understand that what they're doing is offensive to God, and they need to get the right instructions. We know that they're living a promiscuous lifestyle, and we say, okay, just keep coming to church, give your tithes, pay your offers. As long as you come and pay your tithes and give your offer, you're going to be all right. Instead of take them in the office and tell them, rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ to stop sin. Tell them the truth. I read to give me an open rebuke and let me die and go to hell. People say, well, I don't know why you had to talk to me like that. I ain't going back to that church anymore. I'm not going to fool that line anymore. Go on and go to hell. Keep going to hell. But I tell people that if you hear I'm sinning, please come. Call me up. Phone me. Send me an email. Pastor, I hear you sexing with this girl or whatever. You over there. You gambling again. You smoking, drinking. Man, Pastor, you need to, let's pray about this stuff because you don't want to go to hell. This is what a brother or sister really does. But you do that to one of these people that still got the devil in them talking, they know the Lord, they're going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven living like hell. And if I go to heaven, I'm going to heaven. And the devil back there just laughing. Knowing he got them like a yo-yo on the tip of a string, throwing them every which way. I ain't well with them. They're on my payroll. They do everything I tell them to do. They're not even listening to their commanding officer. They're not listening to their commanding officer. They're doing whatever the devil and his agents tell them to do. Listen to what God said to Jeremiah. He said, therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to these shepherds. Instead of caring for my flock and leading them to safety, you have deserted them and driven them to destruction. Now I will pour out judgment on you for the evil you have done to them. But I will gather together the remnant of my flock from the countries where I have driven them. See, listen, God know he allows you. He allows you. Hallelujah. So no, Lord, I'm going to gather them. I will bring them back on sheepfold, and they will be fruitful and increase in number. See, that's why when people see that you have been driven somewhere, you went back. But the pastor abused you. But though the Lord brings you back to the place he wants you to be, and they get jealous because they thought you was going to die where you were. But now they see you increasing, you're multiplying. You hear what I'm saying? They can't even believe it. They can't even believe it. Consider you dying. Listen to what God said. Then I will appoint responsible shepherds who will care for them. Hallelujah. And they will never be afraid again. Not a single one will be lost or missing. I, the Lord, have spoken. For the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant, talking about Jesus now, from King David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. And this will be his name. The Lord is our righteousness. Talking about Jesus. Jesus came through the lineage of David, King David. Rahab. In that day, Judah will be saved. And Israel will live safely. In that day, says the Lord, when people are talking, when people are taking an oath, they will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who rescued the people of Israel from the land of Egypt. You see, when we make oaths, we shouldn't even make an oath at all in the name of the Lord. Not on heaven, not on earth. Not even on the hair on your head you should make an oath. I swear on my mother's grave. People say that stuff. I swear on my dad's grave. I swear on my daughter's grave, my son's grave. No, you don't do that. Don't make them kind of oaths. Listen to what God says. In that day, say the Lord, when people are taking an oath, they will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who rescued the people of Israel from the land of Israel. Instead, they will say, as surely as the Lord. Instead, they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the people of Israel back to the land, back to their own land from the land of the north and from all the countries to which he have exiled them, then they will live in their own land. My heart is broken because of the false prophets, and my bones tremble. I stagger like a drunkard. Jeremiah talking about the false prophets. He is warning Israel not to get back into this realm again. No, we got to think that we play Russian roulette with our soul. We at the club. We at the church. We at the picnic. We at the church. We smoking marijuana. We at the church. We smoking cocaine. We at the church. We going back and forth. He's warning us. What God does not want, what he doesn't require this type of lifestyle. He didn't wash us in his blood for us to keep going back and forth into the same mud that we came out of it. If you don't, sometimes you think it's just mud. So you come out of a life of living a promiscuous lifestyle, having three or four different women, three or four different men, and you were having a good time, you say. And you were so blessed that God did not allow you to get some type of venereal disease. Then pick up some sickness in your body that was detrimental. Some people get sickness. I was watching a show the other night, and they were saying that all these people were living this wild lifestyle. And they got this sickness called leprosy. And the leprosy was all over their face and all over their hands. Even the priest got it because the priest was promiscuous too. You know, the priests live homosexual lifestyle, lesbian lifestyle, texting with little boys and little girls and all this stuff. And the priest had all over the priest was wearing a long robe and the sleeves come all down to his wrists because all his hair was full of leprosy. He had a veil over his head, over his face. Because why? My microphone was away. I hope you got that. The veil was over his head. Because his faith was full of leprosy. Sin will do you, cover you like that. You don't have leprosy on you, but you have sin all over you. We have that sin all over us because we fail to repent and do what thus says the Lord. We fail to do it. He said, this is what he says. My heart is broken because of the false prophets. My bones tremble. I stagger like a drunkard. Like someone overcome by wine because of the holy words the Lord has spoken against them. Jeremiah is heard it all over. Because the Lord is telling Jeremiah these things. He's a true prophet. He said, for the land is full of adultery. Look at America. I was talking about it last night. We have a lot of people in America that love the Lord. There's still the millions of Christians in America. But you got millions, what's the minority of haters that don't love God or love God's people. And a lot of them are in the government. They're in position of authority. But the Bible says all this will happen. Don't be surprised. And they're turning everything away from the way God had ordained this thing to be. So what must happen? The prophet told you, for the land is full of adultery. And it lies under a curse. You hear that? The land itself is in mourning. Its wilderness pastures are dried up, for they all do evil and abuse what power they have. We got this happening right now in our country. You're talking about the Middle East. You're talking about Africa. You're talking about India. You're talking about Korea. You're talking about China. The pastor, the prophet, Holy Spirit. The president just went to had his DOJ, Department of Justice, to go to the courts. The Congress and governors of different states are trying to stop China, from buying up all of the United States farmlands. And the president is blocking that law that the Congress is trying to pass and the governors to stop China from buying up all of America. In other words, the president that they wanted is selling out America to China. Is selling it out to China. You hear what I'm telling you? Man, you need to go and read the news. You're not going to get it on the thing. You've got to go on YouTube. Go on Twitter. Instagram. You go on Periscope. You're going to get the real stuff. Then they got some sites that you can go and you can get the real stuff from those people that really search the real, true news. He says, the wilderness pastures are dried up, for they all do evil and abuse the power they have. Now he says, even the priests, listen to what God says. Amazed me as I was studying this. And it's amazing me now even as I'm reciting it. He says, even the priests and prophets are ungodly, wicked men. I have seen their despicable acts right here in my own temple, says the Lord. Do you hear what he said? The Lord is in the temple, and he is watching the priests, prophets, doing despicable acts. Oh, my God. You all ain't get this thing. You think that all them people that you see up in there preaching and teaching and singing and prophesying, you think that they're holy men? I watched the movie, The Rapture, and it just woke up something inside of me. When the pastor says, black pastor from down south, starring the picture, and he said, when the rapture took place on Sunday morning, service was so high, and people were just leaving their pocketbook, women were leaving their pocketbook in the wigs, men were losing their suits and shoes and the fancy Rolex watches, everything was just left inside the church. Their Bible was left behind, everything was left behind. And the pastor was standing up on the altar, preaching 40-some years, and assistant pastors and leaders were sitting. Some of the pastors that was living life for God was raptured. But there was more that was left behind than was taken. That's the Lord Jesus. I don't want to do this thing for 40, 50 years and be left behind. God is in the house. He's in the temple. And he sees the ungodly, wicked men. That's what he says. I have seen their despicable acts right here in my own temple, says the Lord. Therefore, excuse me, the paths they take will become slippery. Jesus, they thought that they're getting away, but the path is slippery. They will be chased through the dark, and they will fall. For I will bring disaster upon them at the time fixed for their punishment. I, the Lord, has spoken. See, the Lord has a time. He has a set time that he can punish these folks. These folks think that they're getting away. That's why we got to examine our own selves. See where we're coming up short. Don't point your finger at them. Deacon Fraser says, when you're pointing one finger at them, you got five, but it's four. You got four fingers pointing back at you. This is for us to examine our own self. We may not be sinning the way they're sinning, but we got some little things that we need to put on the altar. One lady posted something. She's a prophetess or something. She posted something on Facebook yesterday, and she says that we need to take down the stages and put back the altars. It was so powerful to me. Because the altar house in the house of the Lord, in the temple of the Lord, has become a stage. They got dry ice smoke coming up out the altar. They got the fog lights, the same red and blue and green and yellow, flashing over the stage, what they call the altar, in God's house. So there's no anointing, because they're putting on a show for Satan. I saw these four girls, maybe more than four. There's a group of them were singing. And they all was making, they're on the altar. And I tell the music sounds, the worship sounds good, you know. It sounds good. But the actions didn't line up. You understand what I'm saying? It didn't line up. They were making the satanic signal of the ram or the goat. Put down the two middle fingers, and they got the two, the index finger and the baby finger sticking up, the sign of the goat or the ram. So you have to pay attention. But bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he says, look. There's a time that God going to chastise them. The judgment going to come upon them like fire. He said, I saw that the prophets of Samaria, verse 13, were terribly evil, for they prophesied in the name of Baal and led my people of Israel into sin. God had warned the people coming out of Egypt not to get connected with these people, these foreign people. You understand? Well, not that they were so much better than these foreign people, but they were worshiping the true and living God. He didn't want them to give his worship to no other entity. Do you know the worst thing you can do is leave God and go worship another God? The worst thing you can do. Even sometimes we spend more time. You say, I can't go to church this Sunday because I got to wash my car. I got to detail my car. I got to clean my car inside and outside. You know, I got to go to the mall and shop, and I need to get this thing from the mall, this suit, this dress, and all this stuff we're doing. Because all these things we put before God, all these things we put before him. Hallelujah. We put so much things before him, and God doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to put anything before him. He wants us to cherish him, to put him first in everything. But the world system gets us. You know, the enemy uses that. That's what the enemy uses, the world system. And we got to understand that. enemy used the world system to keep us divided, to keep us in bondage. We don't think it's bondage. We think it's good. But no, he uses that to keep us away, leads us away from God. He says, I saw, this is what he said, I saw that the prophets of Samaria were terribly evil, for they prophesied in the name of Baal and led my people of Israel into sin. But now I see that the prophets of Jerusalem are even worse. Do you see what the Lord is saying? We are not paying attention to what our ancestors have done. And now we are doing even worse than they did. Man, this is something to think about. Listen, listen, listen. He said, but now I see that the prophets of Jerusalem are even worse. They commit adultery and love dishonesty. They encourage those who are doing evil so that no one turns away from their sins. These prophets are as wicked as the people of Sodom and Gomorrah once were. Therefore, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says concerning the prophets. I will feed them with bitterness and give them poison to drink. For it is because of Jerusalem prophets that wickedness has filled the land. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army said to his people. Do not listen to these prophets when they prophesy to you, filling you with futile hopes, empty hopes. They are making up everything they say. They do not speak for the Lord. You know, a lot of prophets, they practice. Do you know that prophets, they practice their prophecy? They got books that they write notes, and they know they're going to tell you certain things that sound a certain way. They know you're going through some problems. You're having some financial problems. You're having some problems with your mate, with your husband, with your wife, and they're going to talk to that. And they're going to dress it up in a nice skirt and blouse, nice two-piece suit, three-piece suit. They dress it up to make you feel good. You started weeping because they touch away they need to touch. They know they got they know what to say. Then you want to put up your money, put on the altar for them. They're dressing in fine clothes while you're still waiting to see the prophecy come true. Do you hear me today? That's me. You still waiting to see the prophecy come true. That's not coming true because God has not spoken any word to them. Listen. Listen what the sovereign Lord says. He told you not to listen to the false prophets. Keep saying to those who despise my word, don't worry. The Lord says you will have peace. And to those who stubbornly follow their own desires, they say, no harm will come to your way. Have any of these prophets been in the Lord's presence? They hear what he is, to hear what he's really saying? Has even one of them cared enough to listen? Let me read that again for you. Because God wants to get our attention with these false prophets. These people that don't spend no time in the presence. You see a prophetess, Kersey, every morning that woman, my 13 years, she told me, she was getting up. She gets up and go on the prayer line that they have. 3 o'clock in the morning. I should get up at 5 o'clock and go on the line with our shepherd or someone, but I'm tired because I'm doing so much. And I'm watching a show last night. They was talking about in China how much that the Christians are being abused in China. Man, they beat them and cut them up and put them in prison and even burn the children. I mean, burn them. They hold them like you have Two men have the children. Man, I saw this stuff. I was saying to myself last night, I said, how evil can people be? They got dictatorship over there in China, you know, in Korea, in North Korea, and South Korea. So they got one man had the little boy hands, and one man had his feet. And they were holding him over the fire, burning him up like they were cooking a lamb. I said, God, how can people be so wicked? He said, this is what God says. They keep saying to those who despise my word, don't worry. The Lord says you will have peace. And to those who stubbornly follow their own desires, they say, no harm will come to you. No harm will come your way. Have any of these prophets been in the Lord's presence to hear what he is really saying? Has even one of them cared enough to listen? They don't have time to pray. They don't have time to fast and pray. You know, fasting is not just turning down the plate. Fasting is spending time in the presence of the Lord. Listen to the Lord speaks, because he speaks. He's not dumb. He sees and he hears. People want to show God everything. Lord, let me just tell you this. I got this. I got to show you this, Lord. But they don't say, well, Lord, I need to see. Lord, can you show me this? I need to hear. God, can you tell me? I'm not going to move till you talk to me, because I want you to instruct me. He says, they don't care enough to listen. Look, the Lord's anger bursts out like a storm, a whirlwind that swirls down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will diminish will not diminish until it has finished all he has planned in the days to come. You will understand all this very clearly. You hear that? When you study the prophetic word that God is laying before us, and then you begin to see things opening, things happening. You say, man, I was just reading that in the good book. I was just reading that in the word of God. God was telling us, show me that these things going to come to pass. I'm glad that I've studied that. And I record that in my heart, that when it comes, I know this is the word of God being manifest. He said, I have not sent these prophets, yet they run around claiming to speak for me. I have not given them any message, yet they go on prophesying. He says, if they had stood before me and listened to me, they would have spoken my words, and they would have turned my people from their evil ways and deeds. Am I a God who is only close at hand, says the Lord? No, I am far away at the same time. Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens, says the Lord? I have heard these prophets say, listen to the dreams I had from God last night. And then they proceed to tell lies in my name. How long will this go on? If there are prophets, there are prophets of deceit, inventing anything they say, telling these false dreams, they are trying to get my people to forget me, just as their ancestors did by worshiping the idols of Baal. Let these false prophets tell their dreams But let my true messengers faithfully proclaim my every word. There is a difference between straw and grain. Does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord? Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock in pieces? Therefore, says the Lord, I am good. I am against these prophets who steal message from each other and claim they are from me. I am against these smooth-tongued prophets who say this prophecy is from the Lord. I am against these false prophets. The imaginary dreams are flagrant lies that lead my people into sin. I did not send or appoint them, and they have no message at all for my people. I, the Lord, have spoken. He says, for one of these people or one of the prophets or priests asks you, what prophecy has the Lord burdened you with now? You must reply, you are the burden. The Lord says he will abandon you. If any prophet, priest, or anyone says I have a prophecy from the Lord, I will punish that person along with his entire family. Listen to what the Lord is saying. Because when you hear people coming and tell that they have this prophecy from the Lord, take notice, pay attention to what they're saying. Because the prophetic word lines up with the word of God. There's nothing new under the sun. But people are taking the word of God and twisting around to suit their own imagination. This is what God says. Suit their own belief. Hear what the Lord is saying to us. You should keep asking each other, what is the Lord answer? What is the Lord saying? But stop using this phrase, prophecy from the Lord. I use it to give authority to their own ideas, turning upside down the words of our God, the living God, the Lord of heaven's army. This is what you should say to the prophets. What is the Lord's answer? Or what is the Lord saying? But suppose they respond, this is a prophecy from the Lord. Then you should say, this is what the Lord says. Because you have used this phrase, prophecy from the Lord, even though I warn you not to use it, I will forgive you completely. For I will expel you from my presence, along with this city that I gave to you and your ancestors. And I will make you an object of ridicule, and your name will be infamous throughout the ages. God is saying, don't put your lying prophecy, don't put his name on your lying prophecy when he have not given you a release. People do it all the time. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't want to come on. I felt so bad. But you gave me the strength and the energy to come on and put it out there today. We ask, O God, that you send help. Send help to help us even as we are going through this time with our sinuses acted up. Father, we thank you for everyone that got on the line today. We pray for their help. We pray for their strength. And Lord, we pray for their protection. We ask you, God, to heal and deliver. Restore each and every one of us in our rightful state. We honor you today, God, for all that we say and all that we do. We ask you, Father God, that you continue to bless us with hearing and seeing. Lord, let us not look down on anyone for any reason, thinking that we have gotten to that place that we have arrived. We ask you, Father God, to give us the strength and give us the love in our hearts, to love on our brothers and our sisters unconditionally, O God. Lord, if we have offended anyone, anywhere, at any time, we ask you to forgive us, Lord. As Father, you know, it's never our intentions to hurt anyone. We ask you to teach us, show us how to continue to love unconditionally, Lord. And we will, in the precious name of Jesus. For it's our desire to clear you from the inside out that you are the Lord. You are the Lord of our life. And we praise you. And we glorify your name. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Well, we thank God for you all today. We praise God that you came on and hear this word. I had a side note that was so good on Ezekiel in my spiritual warfare Bible, but the Lord didn't let me put it in the message, so we'll do a part four the next time we come back on this, on if the Lord say the same on Saturday, and see if we can get some stuff in there. Anyway, well, we go open the line right now. We pray to God. Somebody hear the word today, and somebody give their heart to Christ Jesus. Just wherever you are, just ask the Lord to come into your heart right where you are. You don't need a whole lot of stuff, a lot of fancy stuff. Today, my sinuses are giving me trouble today. But just ask the Lord. Tell the Lord you're sorry for your lifestyle. You repent and invite him in your heart. That's all you need to do. Invite him control. Take up his rightful position in your heart as Lord and Savior, as Redeemer of your life. Just ask him. Invite him in. And if you do that, guess what happens? Before you can just finish the sentence, he'll be in. He will enter your heart. This is what the Lord does. He will come into your heart, and he will live inside there, sup with you, and you with him. So today is your day. You can have it right now. You can have the gift of salvation right where you are. So if you don't know him, the Bible says first thing you want to do is repent. That's what you want to do. Because repent is just telling him that you recognize that you've been living contrary to his word. That's that you were living a life that did not glorify him. That's what repentance does. Telling him, and you've seen, I'm turning away from it now. Simple. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You understand? The Bible said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It says that the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know that all of us live a sinful lifestyle. That's the way we live. We didn't know no different. Hallelujah. But when Christ died on the cross, he made it possible for us to come back home. as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And today, if you feel that you have strayed away from Christ, if you knew him at one time as Lord and Savior, but you have turned away, you can rededicate your life. And if you didn't know him at all, now you can submit and commit your life to him. You know, just receive him as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says that you need to be baptized. If you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, you should be saved. So what you need to do is that you need to repent and recognize that Jesus died on the cross. According to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, you must repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for your remission of sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Recognize, confess it, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You cannot save yourself. It doesn't matter how much money you make, how much degrees you get here, you know. But you know, a lot of people, you hear people say, well, I don't need nobody. I don't need anybody at all. I need anything at all. I've got everything that I need. But I tell you something, there's a time come that when you get sick and your liver, your kidneys, your pancreas, your lungs, anything start going real bad that you can't fix and the doctors can't fix. They can't prescribe nothing that would make, because they really can't fix that, to tell the truth be told. The doctors can't fix anything in your life or my life. What they can do is prescribe some type of medication, but Jesus does the fixing. He does the healing. Understand this. But when you get to a place that they can't prescribe nothing for you, only Jesus. And if you don't know him, guess what happened? You're going out of here. But if you know him, you got to go to here. You don't have no fear. You don't have no fear. I told you last week when my heart was acting up simple, I ain't had no fear. All I can tell is the pain was so bad, I didn't want the pain. And I told him, I said, if you got to take me home, take me home. But I said, Lord, but this pain is unbearable. I was talking to him. I said, I've never seen nothing like that before. And then when I had the EKG, and then scan my heart, you know, put the thing, hook up all that stuff to you, and it come back negative, that it was that wrong. I couldn't believe. And the doctor said, he said, Reverend, you don't have no problem, your heart is fine. The heart sounds good, and the EKG says that it's normal. I said, well, I'm not afraid, because if I go, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm doing enough that I can do according to his word, that I will go home and be with him. But anyway, if you receive Jesus, say this morning, say right here, let's do this quick prayer. As my throat and my sinuses are bothering me. The Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have given your life at the cross for my sins. The righteous for the unrighteous, the king for a peasant. Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. So I come today after hearing this word. I'm convicted, Lord, that I was keeping myself away from the house of the Lord because of the false prophets. But that's no excuse, because I need a Savior. I'm heading towards hell without you. So today I'm coming denouncing Satan and all of his agents, recognizing that you are the one who paid a debt for me that I owed that I could not pay. And I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, as I open the door to my heart, I'm inviting you to come into my heart. Live on the throne of my heart. Be my Lord, my Savior, my soon-coming King. Today I'm accepting the finished work of the cross that you have performed for me. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me, dying for me, and give me access to the tree of life, to the fountain of life, to the Father. I thank you, Lord, for welcoming me into the body of believers and the children of God, that I be a son or daughter. Just tell them today, Let it know that this thing has to flow out of your heart. It's not just out of your mouth or out of your head. It's got to come out of your heart. You have a desire to live for him. He came down here with obedience and went all the way up to the Valdorosa Road to the cross. 14 different stations he went through, and he was slapped and kicked and spit upon. At every station, people were mocking him and calling him all types of names because of your sin, our sin. And he didn't say a mumbling word all the way to the cross, all the way to Calvary on a hill far away. Stood the old rugged cross, the cross that bear your sins right there. Lord, just tell the Lord right where you are, Lord, I thank you. I thank you even for saving me on this day today, Lord. I receive you now as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. No, call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, but get a Bible and start studying the Word of God, because this is what you need more than anything else. You need to study your Word so that when you hear these preachers preaching and teaching, you will know if they're really preaching sound doctrine, if they're preaching the Word of God, or they're just messing up the Word of God to make it sound good for your hearing. And you need to hear the whole, eat the whole scroll. You know, we're not eating, when this is getting out of the bread, but it's a special bread that I like. And it's small, but I don't eat just a little piece. I have to have a whole one because they're small. You know, and they're very tender, soft. You know, I'm going to get it, sir. I'm just going to have a little piece. No, I have to have a whole one for myself. Because they're not big. But it's the same with the Word of God. Why are you going to just put out one scripture because it's some good and you're going to put all your stuff to it? Let me get the whole scripture. So every verse is parallel with the next verse. It tells you what you need. You need to get it all. And then call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, and tell him, look, I'm studying the Word of God. I received Jesus. I've given my life to Jesus. But I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, everybody that you can get. Because somebody that come might make a decision from what they hear and say they want to be saved. Well, they're not going to get baptized the same day because you got to go through a baptism class so you understand the reason. You don't just get baptized. If somebody just baptized you, you don't tell you, that's not right. It's just order. It's the order. You got to go through maybe a couple of weeks or so, a couple of nights you go through and they tell you, explain what baptism is all about, the reason why you're being baptized, you understand? And then you understand that why you're going down that water. You're not just going on that water for sure. You're making an open declaration that you have given your life to Christ and that you will live for him. Hallelujah. He make a sacrifice at the cross and Calvary for you and I. So now you have to make a sacrifice. All of us that decide, we make a sacrifice. You know, and more, it's an honor to serve him, to live for him. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who died for us. So we make the sacrifice. You know, I'm not going back to the crack house anymore. I'm not going back to the whole house anymore. You know, I'm going to live for him. You know, sometimes I want to go to the whorehouse. Tell the truth. Sometimes I want to shack up with some other woman. Sometimes you want to shack up with some other man. But tell the truth. The Holy Spirit will tell you. No, that's not. Once you give your life to Christ, he will tell you when you want to, because your flesh still wants to do it. The flesh is not saved. You know, people say, well, how the preacher can say, I don't believe the preacher. No, it's the truth, though. That's the problem with the church, that these people don't want to tell you the truth. Because the preacher's preaching for 40-some years and his flesh is still talking. One preacher here is in jail sitting right now from in this state. Had a big fancy church. And he was sleeping with little boys and little girls in the church. Children in the church office. In the pastor's office. You understand what I'm saying? So they got him a pedophile. And he is gone. He lost the church. And then another. Now there's a bishop that's running the church, to have the church. Now he's a homosexual, bisexual. And he got a lot of them people in the church. that have positions as ministers and stuff. Ministers for Satan, not for the Lord. But get them, you get baptized, you invite your friends, your family, co-workers, and the enemies, and you're going on the water, like we said, you're making that proclamation. You're proclaiming that you have given your life completely to Christ and that you have died with him. You're going on that liquid grave, leaving all that nasty stain that had you stain of sin. Leave it in the grave. And when you come about that, you find a church that is preaching and teaching sound doctrine. Don't go into the first church unless it's one that you go into that is truly preaching sound doctrine. The pastor has given his life completely. Because you got some, the music is good. They got good praise team. You can tell them. You can tell the ones that have a lot of foolishness. They have all the lights. They have the smoke and all that stuff going. Because they're putting on a show. God don't need no show. That show is Satan works. God don't need no show. He needs holiness. He is looking for holiness. He says, when I come again, will I find faith in the earth? He want to find people that are faithful to him. Will he find faith in the world? Or what? People that are living according to the instructions that he left for them to live by. And it don't happen one day. Because you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, everything ain't going to change one day. It's a day at a time. You didn't become a sinner all at one time. It happened. You become a sinner, and you keep getting sinning more and more and more, and get worse and worse. You understand? So you're going to get clean and cleaner and cleaner, and cleaner, so you don't have no desire. Even though your flesh speak, you just tell the flesh, shut up. You're not going to be going that way anymore because you are getting stronger and stronger in your faith. God bless you all. I love you so much. The line is just open, but remember, Christ loves you more. The line is open. Thank God for those that receive this that vision.
Apostle, let us pray for you real quick, man. Sorry for getting over there. We got worked so hard and be so busy, but I want to lift up a quick prayer for Apostle, those men and women of God out there. You can pray with me that we can lift up the man of God. He do so much and works so hard trying to do all God's will and feed and doing everything. God, so we're going to lift up a prayer for you today that God not only heal your body, but answer all of your finances, whatever you need, and that he'll make a way. He already doing that, but I'm going to pray now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for all you've done, for how good you are, Lord. We lift up the man of God, the apostle calendar, Lord. God, your servant, your man servant, God, you called him. God, you said men are called for your children. So, Lord, we lift him up today in the name of Jesus, in his body, asking you, God, heal your body, and heal your body in the name of Jesus. God, you the only one can do it, God. God, you're able to do a seat above all we ask today, according to the power that worketh in us. And God, you're the only one can do it, Lord. You're able to do a seat above all we ask today. So we plead the blood of Jesus against everything that's coming against his body, attack on his body, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus, and we ask you, God, to send your healing, send your power, send your anointing, Lord God. You're the only one can do it. So, Lord, we just trust you, knowing you can do anything but fail. God can not just heal his body, but God bless his ministry. God, you know what he needs. You know what the help he needs, God. You say, men are called for your chosen, God. You sitting over there that are called by your name to be, continue to help him to carry out your work in the name of Jesus, Lord. Help his sinuses, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. And God, we forever bless your name, give your name the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm telling you, help you breathe a little bit better. Possibly you can get some of that peppermint oil. That's good. Peppermint oil is very good. Peppermint oil, and you can do some ginger and lemon and honey, some natural honey, and that will help you be able to breathe a little better. You can do some oregano. You got to probably go to a health food store for that, and that'll help.
No, I got that here. I got oregano here. I got the oil, and I got the herb. I got the herb, the oregano herb, and I got the oil. I got so much Minister Jones, I have so much herb there, you can't believe that. If I show a chef, I got a book chef, and they got like four or five chefs, and everyone have a lot of balls of different hours. But I thank you so much, and the only one I'm missing right now, and I was just thinking about that yesterday, is the peppermint oil. Because I was going to order some of that from Amazon, but I'm glad you remind me. I thought about that yesterday to get some peppermint oil. That's the only one that I've short of right now, the peppermint oil. But thank you so much. Thank you so
good.
Much for the prayer. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to pray for you because you need shrimp, man. Sometimes, you know, you pray for everybody else and preach for everybody. Sometimes you got to be lifted up yourself, man. Sometimes you
That's
need to pray out yourself and be strengthened because it takes a lot out of you trying to do all you can for and do the will of God. So it takes a lot out of you, man. And then the last thing you want to do is not be wore out trying to do everything. But God got you, though. You know, the Bible says,
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. And so through Christ, he is your strength. And he's the only one that can help you through whatever test he called you to do. But I enjoyed the word today. It was so powerful, man. Everything you said. When you were talking, I just started laughing because it's like, you know, we're in a time now where you got, the Bible says, men are called, few chosen. Men are called, and I done said this before, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that who shall believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That means God called all those to repentance. But few are chosen. When it comes down to office, of certain parts of office, you know, because we just in America, but, you know, every, you know, people just iron themselves and they looking in it for the accolades and the money, power, and sex. They're not in it because they want to see people get saved and see deliverance take place. They're just in it for money. And, you know, everybody has been called. You know, if you look throughout the Bible, every person that God, Jesus Christ came in contact, they were chosen. The 12 disciples, the apostles, 12 disciples were men, and God, he chose them men. They didn't choose themselves. They were chosen. Everywhere he went, they was already picked out. And so, you know, that's the thing about ministry. You know, and I'm not trying to discredit anybody. God has to choose you. That's and then when he chooses you, you be anointed. Look at David. David was chosen out of all his brothers. God chose David, and God had already he already had put in him and put in him what he needed him to do for the task that David had to carry out. David did things that nobody else did, like he killed a bear and sheep bear and all that there and all that when nobody went around him. You know, him being a sheep keeper, but God chose him, and when he chose him, he anointed him. He anointed him, and anointing fell on him, and that's the thing about being chosen in the body of Christ. The only way you can be chosen, God has to select you. If a pastor can't do that, your pastor can't give you accolade. It takes the power of God and anointing. That's why Jeremiah, he told Jeremiah, I knew you before when you were in your mother's womb because he was already chosen by God. You have to be chosen
right.
when it comes
that's
to that.
Right.
It's just we're in an hour now where you got people coming in for the accolades, and they try to make a name for themselves. And then I'm not trying to, because people don't know better. And in America, is anything go do what you want to do and live in the kind of way. And you got these prophets coming out. I don't sound like psychics to me. You don't have to see psychics on TV, so I believe they're in the pulpit now. And people coming in like they're going to scratch a lottery ticket, coming to the church. And they ain't get the people that, the leaders that's doing it. It's the people that got itchy ears and want that. They don't really want God. They want the hand of God. They want to treat God, like
that's
I
right.
said, a lot of times on here, they treat God like a sugar daddy and a Santa Claus, Lord, or like they trick it. Lord, you do this for me, and I give you this and do that. And they come to God because they don't know who God is for themselves. They don't have the Spirit of God, and they don't know him as a father. He becomes a father to them. When he was your father, you don't have to come and debate with God. He said, seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And people don't know. To do those things, they don't want to wait on God anymore. People want a quick fix, a quick fix me up, and then I'm good. They want a microwave. So, you know, some people want microwave dinners. They don't want a real cooked meal take a little time. When you're cooking them cauliflower
right.
and that cornbread, and you putting that cornbread in that cast iron pot, that take a little time. And so people don't want that kind of cooking no more. They want a quick McDonald's, Burger King, have it your way, and then everything good. And that's the way people want it. And then you got some people are searching for the truth. I'm not talking to those out there that are looking for the truth. But if you want the truth, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by God. God has to order your steps. It takes the power of God to order your steps. When you're looking for a leader, ask God. Like the man of God just said, you seek God and you got in his word. The Bible said, if you delight yourself in him, he'll give your heart desire. The Bible said, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. That ain't just
yes.
for the pastor and the minister.
Yes.
If you hunger for God, God will send you to the right leader if you want truth. Because a lot of people don't want the truth. They want something that'll make them feel good. And make things. I heard an apostle say, his name Apostle Dan McCoy, he said, people think they're sliding to heaven on a banana peel. And think that you can do anything you want to do, and everybody going to heaven. And that's the saying in America. In America, they think, and then that's why you got people that live in the kind of way sin, like you were saying earlier. You got people in position in church saying it. You got preachers that living in sin because you got this doctrine, this new doctrine they got out now. Once saved, always saved. That's not the truth. When Romans 6:1 say, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abide? God forbid. And said, people don't know God, the word of God, because they don't know him. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8:9,
that's
says,
right.
If you don't have a spirit, you're not healed. Everybody ain't a child of God. I heard you say it one time, everybody ain't the church. You got a lot of churches, but every church ain't by God. Some of these man-made churches. And that's why you can't see the word of God is none effect, because man got them in the way with their own doctrine and what they believe. And they're taking the Bible and deciding the Bible, cutting out what they want, and adding to it and calling that God. That's why when you come and try to tell them the truth, and the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They'll look at you like, well, hold on, man, I got my own way, and you got your way, because people think they can come to God like that because they got this new doctrine saying it's more than one way to God. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man can come to the Father but by me. And so now,
that's
when you listen to man, that's the saying now. That, you know, you come this way, you come that way, you come through a Buddha, crystal. You can do it that way because they're getting blessed by these false gods, because they got money, cars, houses, and all that. They call that a blessing. And God, the devil can bless you too. And so they think because they get these blessings, they haven't seen a thing happen yet. They think they living in the blessings of God, and they're not. And people don't know that because they don't have the Spirit of God. And so that's why we have to pray for those that don't know God. Because it is sad. That's why the Bible says, in that day, many are going to say, I preached in your name, prophesied in your name. You can see the attribute. The Bible says, you know them by the fruit they bear, that you got so many people coming in the house of God and think they got a right to come in and start preaching God's word and messing up people, and they don't even realize they're getting blood going to be in their hand when they stand before God. All the people, they're sent to hell behind this false mess. And it's sad. That's why I tell people all the time, you need to read your Bible. If you can't read it, they got audio. We got all this new technology now. And then make sure you get a King James, because they're trying to change the Bible now. China done made a new Bible now. They done took the Bible, took the Ten Commandments out of the Bible with their new Bible, and when they say, thou shalt not, then they say, thou shalt do. Thou shalt murder, it depends on what it is. And they changed, so man changed the Bible. They got the Queen James Version and all that, so you need to be led. If I was you, those that are down on radio land, please ask God for the Holy Ghost. Get his spirit. Then he'll help you. He told his disciple that. See, the reason why Peter was able to cuss, because he didn't have the Holy Ghost. When Peter received the Holy Ghost, then he received power. That's why when he came in, he said, a seven go have I not, but such as I have. He was able to speak in the power of the Holy Ghost and anointed. He didn't have the Holy Ghost when he was Christ, because he didn't need it because Christ was there. When he received the Holy Ghost, his speech changed. And so that's why you need the Holy Ghost. I ain't want to start another preacher, but I can't help myself. But I just want to add on to what the man of God said. Just pray. We got to keep continue praying. The Bible says you got to speak to your brother to fault. Restore what's wrong through fasting and prayer. And like he said, a lot of times it ain't got to be fasting. It ain't got to be just turning over your plate. It can just be turning off your radio and turning off your music and just listening to the word of God and waiting on the word of God. Just sometimes God come into dream and vision. Something, and that's how God did with me. And I'm not trying to put no cool points out there for myself. But when you speak and spend time with God, sometimes I feel like he's riding in the truck with me. God will give me deep vision while I'm driving in my truck. And then he'll speak to me. And just looking at nature, and I can feel God. And then I can talk. And I love having that relationship with God. That's the relationship he gave you, open door closet, through his son, Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach, and he got many names, you know, they all go over that too, but at the end of the day, Jesus Christ died that you can have a free way to God. With the right heart now, because the Bible says he resists the pride, he get grace and honor, and we in a time now when people are full of pride. You can't tell people nothing, man. They got a spirit of pride, and they
That's
think
right.
God listening to them. You can hear a gospel artist, they got pride. It's all over them. God can smell that. And then, like I said, I like his message for today. He said, God is warning. God warned. warning, man. It's a final warning. And he warned us. God has done came out. You can see, I was telling the prophet today, and I'm going to hurry up and get off of here. I said, man, you can tell God done came out of his place. Man, I got so wicked and so evil that God has done moved out of his place. All across the world, God is moving. And he moving this and that. God moving his hand. He's using it. Well, he made the wicked for the day, for the ear. But God is moving right now. And he's moving and he's judging. And this judgment falling on people like never before. God, people conscious being sealed. People judgment falling on people. There's so many different levels of judgment that's falling. And God, people don't even realize God moving. The only reason why God haven't touched America yet, because you got some of the 12 tribes of Israel over here too, because it was 12 tribes. And that's why America haven't been touched. But once God moves his hand off America, America's going to face God. America already getting hit already. But God is going to judge America because it has set a bad example to the world and got the whole world, it caused the whole world to commit adultery against God, making people think you can do anything, trying to pervert the whole world with homosexuality, doing everything that God said not to do. And if you want to go deeper than that, even now to the food we shouldn't eat. In America, they tell you can eat anything. It's certain stuff God told his children of Israel not to eat. And it's everything that God said not to do, they say it's okay. And see, that's why you need the Spirit of God to know the difference. You know, but see, I just love you. Apostle, you being cursed, God got your back. And you already healed. You remember the woman, the issue of blood. She said, if I could just touch the hem of God, I'd be made whole. And you made whole through the power of God. Through
his
blood, you already made whole. In the name of Jesus. Love you, man. God bless you.
Love you more. God bless you. Thank you so much for that prayer and the response. You know, even as we talk right now, Mr. Jones, they're having super floods like they've never seen before in Dubai. You know, Dubai is super rich over there in Saudi Arabia over there. And right next to Saudi Arabia, they have buildings that the doors is made of gold. Right now, this is the last 6 hours, Dubai has been flooded. Lightning and thunder, rain like this, water they have never seen before. And buildings are surrounded like an ocean. Cars underneath the water, from roof to the bottom, from bottom to the roof. I'm telling you something, people don't understand God is speaking. God is speaking.
And Father, what God is doing, he's doing an eviction notice on a lot of them too. He's kicking off that stolen land. A lot of them stole that land. A lot of that land that they own is not theirs. And God is kicking them off that land. And he's using the leaders to do it. And he's walking the world. So you see the end of this nation, the judgment of God on a lot of these nations, because they got a lot of secrets that their grandfathers did. The Bible says you reap what you sow. A lot of judgment are following up for what their fathers did. And so it's a lot of stuff that, you know, it takes the power of God to show you. And so God is walking and sweeping and getting them the victory. You know, he's kicking a lot of them out. There's a lot of stuff happening. And you know, you got to follow the Spirit of God. But God is really moving. God is going to take him out of his place. And our job is to make sure we're in the right place and make sure we be a kind of word to escape the judgment that's coming, like certain Israel did in the Bible, the Old Testament. I think that's somewhere in Exodus when God told him to take the lamb, and before he was going to send death through there, he said, I want y'all to take the lamb, the blood's lamb, and put it on the doorpost. And you know, that represents Jesus Christ. And then he told him to eat the whole lamb, don't leave that, and he's going to let death pass through. And so we're going to start seeing the move of God the same way that they saw. We're going to see a repeat of the same thing in Exodus. There's going to be another Exodus that God's going to have to bring us out of America, and it's the thing that's going to happen. And so, you know, we just been to see a move of God. God bless you. I can't help it.
God bless you, sir. I don't know if your mama is able to, if prophecy is able to preach for us tomorrow, but we hope she is. But, yes, God, I'm going to do a couple more parts of this topic here. You know, the final warning. Because I believe that that's what the Lord won't be to release. We can keep it out there. Let the line is open. If not, Mr. George, you can go ahead and pray and close us out. I'm going to go get me some hot tea. And I go in the backyard.
Sir.
I got some peppermint plants out there. I'm going to get me some peppermint leaves. And
I need to go hit your backyard, nigga.
Yeah.
I need to go in your backyard.
I got some peppermint plants out there. So I make the peppermint tea. And I have ginger and all that stuff going in the backyard.
Oh, man, you ready, man. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Father, you want to pray?
Yes, sir.
Apostle. Yeah, Father, in the name of
yes.
Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your promise, Lord. I know you said, Lord, through the man of God, that you're warning us and you're giving us our final warning. So, Heavenly Father, we ask you, God, to help us, God. Get in the right place with you, Lord, that God, we want to receive judgment. But help us, Lord, to walk in your mercy and grace, God, that we'll be able to follow your word, do your word, live after your word, and God, that we'll be able to be in the right place, God, at the right time, and that we'll be able to escape. And all the judgment that's coming upon the face of the earth, God, keep us in the name of Jesus, Lord. God, continue to keep apostles and all the men and women of God, all the apostles and ministers, and all the men and women of God of the fivefold ministry on the radio broadcast, and every woman of God that is receiving power of the Holy Spirit today and have received salvation. God, continue to help them to walk and get to know you in the name of Jesus, Lord. You said in your word, the steps of a good man are ordered by you. Lord, you said, Lord, if we delight ourselves to you, you will give our heart desire, Lord. And our heart desire is you, and Lord, be going to help us today. God, keep us, Lord, cover us with your blood. God, continue to keep Israel, Lord. Keep Africa, Lord. Keep, God, every part that's been colonized and the innocent that have been murdered, God, and the blood is crying for the God. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We ask you to help our cities, Lord, with all the murder rates that's going up, God, of our young men. God, we plead the blood of Jesus to get the satanic agenda of a movement of blood, sacrifice, and evil that's happening in our land. We plead the blood of Jesus. God, we ask you, Lord, we release your power in the name of Jesus. That deliverance will take place and changes will be made, God, even in our churches, our ministries, our communities. Families will be made whole again.
Yes,
God, the marriages will be made whole, God. Singles are whole, they separate to the marriage, God. Help us, God, and get back to your law and keep your commandments, God, in the name of Jesus. God, you say, Lord, we seek you first, the kingdom, God, your righteousness. All these things will be added to you, Lord. Help us, God, to continue to turn from our wicked way to do your will. While we will help us to pray your will, help us to live your will. Lord, we can't do it without you, Lord. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for. Sometimes we run out of words to say, but Lord, only you. And dropping our spirit what to pray about. Lord, keep the children, Lord, the innocent, Lord. Lord, keep the children from paralyzed, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus to get the spirit of homosexuality and lesbian that's taken over. God, bring those that want to be brought out. Bring deliverance in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your power. Thank you for your blood. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jones. Be safe. Hope that we bless God for all you are. We thank God for you all. Know that we love you, but know that God loves you more. Have a safe day. And a protective day in the name of Jesus Christ. We hope to see you all tomorrow morning, same time, same place, in Jesus' name. Have a blessed evening. Bye-bye.